I wish we could go for another hour just singing, and we would have been blessed by being here, wouldn't we? Eric and Al, Jonathan, done a wonderful job taking turns leading our singing this week, and I don't think I've missed anybody. And Mike has usually been making the announcements, and they've get up, speak up, and shut up. He's done really, really well. It's the preacher that we've had problems with. But we've had visitors every night of this gospel meeting, and we thank you for coming, and several have returned. And you're gluttons for punishment, but I appreciate you, your interest in things of a spiritual nature. It's been a real blessing for Judy and me to be here and to get reacquainted with Sherry and Dawn and what's his name? We've known them since, I think, teenagers. Well, maybe just a little bit past their teenage years, especially Craig, but Sherry especially, and her mom and family, and just been a real treat to be with them and in their home. And we couldn't pass up a time, even though we were just an hour away. We could have driven back and forth, but I wanted to pester Craig, and I think I've succeeded this week. And he said time passes quickly when you're having fun, except like this. So he's let me know how he feels about it. But it's been a real treat. They've treated us like kings and queens. And I knew Sunday we were in trouble at the pitch end. Y'all from Kentucky? I don't know. Everybody can cook. And if you didn't have us in your home, you took us out, and Craig brought us back. So we're so glad to be able to be here, and I think I filled the boxcar this week, and I know why meetings don't last 2 weeks like they used to. Where's Johnny? I saw him come in. Yeah, there he is. Closed, wouldn't we? But appreciate the good spirit that this congregation has, and I noticed that half an hour after the service is over, y'all are still here talking to one another like you like one another. That's not true in every place. Sometimes it's 7:30 the meeting ends, or 8 o'clock, or whenever, and 5 minutes later, the building's dark. People don't like one another, let alone love one another, and they can't wait to get away from it. But you all stand around and talk, and that's a real, real good sign. And thank Sherry and Craig and Dawn for putting up with us this week, and we've enjoyed being put up in the Spencer Hilton. And in the top floor, no, I guess not. It's almost, but Dawn has that. But we've enjoyed being with them and with all of you, and take time to be holy, says, I think, the second or third verse, make friends of God's children, and that's what we've done this week. Some of you we've known in times past, but we've made some new friends, and I hope that this can continue as years come and go. And hopefully that the exit will get off here at 69, right up the road there. We've heard yay and nay. I hope it's yay, that it just dumps right off into y'all's front yard here. Make it so convenient for everybody to come. Keep loving one another. Keep hating the devil. And keep striving together to go to heaven with God. That's what Jesus died for. Don't make his death be in vain. So big word I guess we ought to say is, thank you. Thank you so much for all of your kindnesses to us this week. But you didn't come to hear me talk about that. We want to talk about the Word of God. And the topic tonight is evidences. In Psalm 33, verses 6 through 8, we read, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Remember that. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So as we look tonight at some evidences, internal and external evidences of the Word of God, we believe a faith-building lesson. Things that I think that I needed to know, and maybe you would like to know them as well. And a lot of these things you already know. As we say, the theory of evolution here is widely believed and defended, isn't it? Just go to school for a day. Look at the Saturday morning cartoons. Do they teach evolution? Shake your head this way. Yes, they do. A lot of television programs, they sneak at it somehow, some way. But here is what is said about it. A few billion, with a B, years ago, back when Earth was new, rivers rolled down from barren mountains into great dead seas. Dead? Remember that. Rainstorms squalled and lightning flashed, lava hissed and spewed from giant volcanoes. Nothing lived on that long ago earth, but the oceans were astir with promise. They swirled and simmered a primordial, I had to look that up, means all the elements. They swirled and simmered a primordial soup that held the raw materials of life. Wasn't really any life, but they held all the materials that had life. Somehow, now, doesn't that explainify it to you? Somehow, you know, billions of years, probably in the first billion years of our world's existence, saying that it had a beginning, that promise was fulfilled. A nondescript glob of chemicals crossed some vague and wondrous boundary to become the first living thing. Well, that settles it for me. Let's just shut the doors and shut the lights off and go home. Doesn't that explain life to you? I'll shake your head this way. No, it doesn't, does it? But if you're a student in school, you're supposed to believe that. And if you say this is true, you get an A+. If not, you got problems. From such unfeeling chemicals, no feeling, remember the word dead? Unfeeling chemicals, Earth eventually filled with a teeming diversity of life. Barren mountains, dead seas, it said, from microbes to men. In the beginning article title, Robert Locke, the author, in the Fort Wayne News Sentinel in 1980. Not too long ago. What does Genesis 1:1 say? Does it agree with what was just said there? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Our spacemen are looking for where we came from. They're supposedly finding life here and life there, but oops, nope, it wasn't really life. I said I could have saved trillions upon trillions of dollars and tell them where we came from. As Andy Griffith would say, right here. In the beginning, God. That's all you need to know, isn't it? That's a security. You don't have to guess about it. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6, Thou, even you, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts. And we're going to find out about that hosts. The earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Remember in Acts 17 that we talked about Wednesday night? Paul said, I'm going to talk to you about the unknown God. Him declare I unto you. That's what the world needs to know today. Wouldn't we be better off? You know, you wouldn't have to have locks on doors, would you? You wouldn't have to have a security system. You could have left your house unlocked today, your cars unlocked, tool sheds, everything, if we'd follow this book here. Psalm 33, 6 through 8, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Isn't the Bible consistent? He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Think you heard this before? I want you to hear it again. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. We need to read it over and over. What God has done. Exodus 20, 9 through 11. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Is that a 24-hour day? Yes. Shake your head this way. Yes. 6 24-hour days. Some think, well, each day was billions of, or some think that each day was 24 hours, but between each day were billions of years, the gap theory. Some members of the church believe both of these. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. I highlighted the passage here. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. 6 24-hour days. No gap between them, none at all. Exodus 31, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days, 6 billion-year days? No. 6 days, 6 24-hour days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Mark 10. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, man and woman. If each day were billions of years, day one, billions, day two, billions, day three, day four, when was man made? On the sixth day? Was that in the beginning? If each day was 24 hours, then between each day were billions of years? Was the sixth day in the beginning? Jesus didn't know what he was talking about when he said in the beginning, did he? But he did, didn't he? He knew what he was talking about. Who's right? Our atheist friends who deny there is a God, or the God in heaven? John 8 and verse 44. Can you see that back there, boys? You're young. Yeah. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Again, not if Adam and Eve were created billions of years from the beginning. That too would be a lie, wouldn't it? The devil is not a murderer from the beginning if, I didn't misspell it, evolution is true. After billions of years, he lied to Eve. No. What does the Bible say? From the beginning. What do you believe, God or evolution? Evolution is true. If evolution is true, or evolution is true, then the Bible is a fairy tale. And again, let's just shut the lights off and go home. If our Bible is a fairy tale, a book of myths, if man wrote it, you don't have any hope. And we'd be singing the song, is that all there is? Is this all there is to life? Just live and die? Like the little dog Rover, you're dead all over? Is that it? Can you believe both? We have theistic evolutionists say God's kicked it off, but then just let it roll billions of years. Is that what the Bible tells us? Is that what Jesus said? Absolutely not. Luke 11 verse 50 beginning, and then the New King James, it does begin without a capital, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel. That's in the beginning. But not if the days were billions of years, like they say. In this primordial soup? Abel was a prophet. His blood shed from the foundation of the world, from the beginning. Not if evolution is true. Is it? If each day was billions or... It depends upon who you talk to. Whether it's millions or billions. It used to be just millions. Now we've moved up and it's billions to make it plausible for those who want to believe that. Psalm 33, 6 through 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Look at verse 9, I want to point out to you. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He says it was done, not begun. When he finished his work, it was done. Not still evolving, not at all. Destroys this evolution theory, doesn't it? And that's all it is. Kids, that's all it is. It is not a fact. It is a theory to get rid of God. And some of them will be honest enough to tell you that. We just want to get rid of God. We don't want there to be a judgment day. But they're still going to wake up on the judgment day, aren't they? The accuracy of the book of Acts. Evidence from the interior. Luke, the physician, the historian, he mentions 32 countries, 54 cities, 9 Mediterranean islands. He alludes to 95 different people, 62 of which are not mentioned anywhere else by any New Testament writer. 27 of these are unbelievers, chiefly civil or military officials. The book of Acts will definitely stand the test of historical examination. Do you know there are critics of the Bible who've checked every one of these countries, every one of these cities, every one of these islands, every one of these people? And they've said, aha, we got you. One of these guys didn't live. He wasn't. Pilate really wasn't the governor. Well, Luke calls him a procurator. And they say, no, that's not what he'd have been called. But did you know with their little toothbrushes and paintbrushes, they've unearthed a little sign that they found Pilate, the procurator, exactly like Luke records. And all those who said, no, 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 it can't be. Whoops. Over, but they don't tell us about that, do they? Over and over, the Bible is right again, like they denied the Hittite nation. Never was such a group of people. Never was. What did they unearth? They said there were no grapes in Egypt, as Moses recorded. You know what they found? The pictures of the Egyptians carrying the great bundles of grapes. Scholars, who are you going to believe? Then, the accuracy of the Bible, it doesn't begin with this, does it? Does it? It doesn't begin within a land far, far away. Star Wars, Superman, you name it, far, far away. It doesn't use mythical characters, does it? It doesn't talk about Never Never Land and Peter Pan, does it? No, no. It gives names and dates and places. Sure does. And they've all been looked at through the microscopic eye of the atheist to find one error. One error. Can't do it. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Do you ever take the time on a clear night to look up? Good for you. Wow. Well, the Lord told us in Sermon on the Mount to look up at the birds. God takes care of them, doesn't he? Look down at the flowers. Even Solomon wasn't arrayed like one of these, he said. And in that effect, look at the trees. Well, the color's almost gone, but it was there, wasn't it? And in the spring, we talked about earlier this week, the flowers pop their little sweet heads up. Oh, it's on its way. Oh, yes, wonderful. The heavens declare the glory of God. We're going to look at some of these. Seeing is believing. Yes. Let me ask you, did this just evolve? This highway out here, I'm not sure what direction. I usually mess it up greatly, but I'm thinking it's that way. Okay, good. Once in a row, I'm going to roll. Will these interchanges, will they just, well, they got to have an exit there, so you wake up one morning and, look. If I told you that's what happened here, you'd say, Judy, get him his medication, wouldn't you? Did that take engineering? Did that take design? Every inch of it. The dirt underneath it. Oh, intricate detail design. Sure did. It didn't just evolve, but there was a design and a designer. Our Milky Way galaxy, which is the home of our solar system, from the sun to Pluto. Can you name all of those? Used to could, remember? More recent estimates have given numbers of around 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. 400. It didn't used to be that many. Now they're finding more with our telescopes. There's another. There's more. Remember years ago reading, I think it was Foy Wallace's book, somebody wrote that centuries ago, somebody found 990-some stars, and that was it. You ever try to count the stars? I did when I was a little boy. Oh, I was counting. I think I got up to 100 one time. One guy got 100, and then another guy said, no, there's more than that. There's over 1,000. What's the Bible say? The Milky Way galaxy. Our solar system is in the exact place it has to be in our galaxy, or it would be pulled apart by gravity. If we're not where we are. Our sun is just the right size and the right distance from the Earth. If we were closer, I think the word would be toast. We would be toast, wouldn't we? You talk about a long, hot summer. If we were farther away from the sun, 32 freezing, we couldn't grow any plants. It wouldn't be a growing season, would it? Earth's ozone protects us from harmful rays. Have you noticed the sun coming up in a different place? Used to be our sun come up over back of our house. Now it's beside our house. Why is that? Did it move? No, our earth tilted, didn't it? Isn't that awesome? Gives us our seasons. Who did that? Oh, there's so much more intricate detail we don't have the time to give you. But just look at this. Our Milky Way galaxy with its 400 billion stars is 100,000 light years across. 100,000 light years. Well, just how big is this creation? Can you tell me what that number is? I couldn't either. It's 588 septillion miles. That sounds like a little kid's number, you know. 588 septillion miles at 186,000 miles per second for 100,000 years to get across our galaxy alone. How big is it? Let's just take the time. 186,000 miles per second times 60. That's the mile, that's the distance you've gone in a mile, or in a minute. Multiply 11,160,000 times 60, and that's how many miles you've gone in an hour, 669 million. Then you multiply that times 24, which is the number of miles in a day. 16,070,400,000 in one day. That's for a piece. I'll bet that's farther than you've gone in all your lifetime. And some of you have done a considerable bit of travel, haven't you? Then multiply that times 365. Multiply 16 billion times 365. You got that in your head, Paul? You got that? Not yet. That's 1 year. And then multiply that number times 100,000. 588 septillion miles in 1 year at 186,000 miles per second. Muhammad Ali used to say he was faster than light. He could turn the light off and be in bed before it got dark. You can't do that, can you? 186,000 miles a second for 100,000 years. That's just to get from one end of our galaxy to the other. Can you go that fast? You see, you can't go 55 miles an hour out in space, or 70 or 90. What they used to say, warp 6, warp 7. you can't do our speed limit and get anywhere. Again, the firmament showeth his handiwork. The word firmament means an endless expanse. And our scientists are now finding that out. Just like Columbus found out that you didn't sail off the edge of the world. Our galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy and its companions. The nearest galaxy to Earth is about 2 million light years away at 186,000 miles per second. How big is this thing? You know, Johnny, I almost made it to 6 foot. 5'11 and a half in my stocking feet. Oh, it's so close. Actually, I wanted to be 6'9", but didn't. But in comparison to what God has made, what am I? How small. How small am I? Small in comparison to the constellation Hercules. We look through our big telescopes and we see hundreds of blotches. Each is a galaxy with 100 billion stars each. What did God say about to Abraham about the stars? His descendants would be as numberless. Somebody said, oh, there's 900 and some. No, there's 1,002. No. Abraham's descendants? Numberless, like the sands of the sea. How many grains of sand can you hold in your hand? You want to go out and be your job to count all the grains of sand in one beach, let alone all of them. Was God right or what? Scientists tell us there are known 2,500,000 known galaxies that they've been able to see. And when they get more powerful telescopes, will they see more? The firmament, endless expanse. You see what God has created? Astronomers estimate over 1 trillion galaxies. That's what they believe is there to be discovered, each with billions of stars. Something else. Read that. 147 verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by name. My dad had about 100, 120 maybe cattle. He named them all. How do you do it? I've seen other farmers do that too with the great numbers. God not only knows more about you than you know about you, he knows the number of stars and calleth them all by their names. Our sun, just think about it, it comes up every day. Earth and the moon, 247,000 miles apart, could fit inside the sun if the sun had a wall of 100,000 miles. We'd bounce around inside our sun, our earth and moon. That's how our sun is. It is 1,300,000 times larger than the earth. But one star in the constellation Orion called Betelgeuse is 248 times larger than our sun. Here's our sun. Have you seen it? Have you Googled it? Seen how our sun's like a little, almost like a period when you get to sizing it with others. Other things that God has created. Antares and the constellation Scorpio is 400 million miles in diameter. Diameter! Theories of the origin of matter. This is unbelievable. The nebular theory. Now this will explain it all. A huge spinning blob began spinning faster and faster, and chunks began breaking off until we have what we have today. Anybody want to shut the lights off and go home and say, that settles it? Well, what question doesn't that answer? Where'd the blob come from? Where'd the blob come from? It just was there. That's all. Okay, remember that highway? It just evolved. It just happened. Like the blob. They made a movie out of the blob, didn't they? Another fictitious character. Another theory, the planetesimal. Now this, that big long name, 26 cylinder, yeah. An intruder star from somewhere else. Notice how definitive they are. From somewhere else in our galaxy came near the sun, and as it did, the gravitational forces that were generated produced tidal forces that tore material out of the sun, which became the solar system. Oh, duh, why didn't I think of that? I mean, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. What question doesn't that answer? Where'd the intruder star come from? I had the thought just the other day. Where'd our galaxy, our water and gravitational forces come from? They say the sun. Well, all that all it just originated. And all of them just happened to be round. And this is the question I want to ask. How come none of the others have water? Off of the sun. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of water on the sun. Yeah, for how long? Really? That planet testimony. Yeah, oh, yeah. Send your kids to school. They learn this stuff. Thirdly, the Big Bang. Anybody not heard of the Big Bang? Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I heard sound waves are still resounding out in space from that Big Bang. That made all of these cylindrical stars, planets, suns, moons. Two giant planets collided in space. Again, what question? Where are the two, you talk about giant planets. And when things collide, do they all break up into little balls, little spheres? No. Nope. Would the hundreds of trillions of pieces all be round, all the same shape? Would they really? And what keeps them from colliding? We know, don't we? We don't have to spend trillions of dollars to figure it out. All things are held together by whose power? By whose word? The one who spoke them into existence. Can't be a design, they say. Because if there's a design, there has to be a designer. Like our highway a few charts ago. Just saying. Another theory? Ancient astronaut theory. This will do it. The other three haven't. All we see and are is the result of astronauts from other galaxies or other parts of our galaxy whose creative activity is revealed in us. You know, these flying objects, unidentified flying objects, I've heard of them since I was little. If they're so smart, they can come so far. Really, they haven't landed here? Are they afraid of us? Ooh, these are creepy earthing. They've come from someplace. All we see and are is the result of astronauts from other galaxies. Hundreds, thousands of light years away. And they showed us how to be what we are. What question doesn't that answer? That question. Where did the other galaxies and astronauts originate? And why haven't these astronauts returned after all these billions of years? Just asking. Are they the so-called UFOs? Last theory, continuous generation. Well, if the first four didn't get it, surely this one will. Matter is constantly being generated in the cosmos. The process by which this creation from nothing is taking place is not identified. But we know it is because we are. Life is being created out there somewhere. We don't know where, but it has to be because we're here. Does that make sense? Don't shake your head this way. Which of the four are you going to tell your kids? Okay, honey, any, meeny, miny. Oh, we don't want no mo, do we? They realize that it has to have an origin. Okay, this can't come from poof, nothing. It has to come from somewhere. Like the missing link. Why is there a missing link? We've got the beginning. We've got the end result of evolution. Why aren't we still coming through this? Why is there a missing link? Again, anything's better than believing in God. Because if I believe in God, I have to believe there's going to be a judgment. We know where we came from, don't we? Internal evidences of the Bible, the suspension of the earth. Men have had many different ideas, just like theories. The Hindus had earth on the backs of four giant elephants standing on the back of a giant turtle who was swimming in a sea of milk. Well, first of all, they had the four giant elephants And somebody said, well, what are they standing on? Well, they said at the back of a giant turtle. Well, what's the turtle on? Well, he's swimming in a sea of milk. Next question. What would you say the next question was? What's holding up the milk? A farmer's pond. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, whatever they say, well, where'd that come from? You see the totem pole? The earth, the giant elephants, the giant turtle, the huge sea of milk, then whatever and whatever, and eventually, if you get a totem pole too tall, what will it do? It's collapsing already, isn't it? The Japanese said earth is on the back of a giant catfish. Oh, man. Really? The Greeks had Atlas on his back. Remember these weightlifting places you see? Some man, strong, powerful man, holding up the earth. They said our storms came when he swam. Imagine the size of those flies. You know, if it wasn't so serious, people believe this. And there are others. There are others. The suspension of the earth. God says in Job 26:7, he stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon a little yo-yo string. Nothing. We know that now, don't we? Nothing is holding up the earth. There's no totem pole, no giant elephants, no turtle, no catfish. Nothing. Written 4,000 years ago. How did these writers write without making a mistake? And we're just touching the hem of the garment. Which do you think is correct? These theories, these guesses, or God? Bible medicine. Moses was educated but didn't follow their medical practices. He was educated, read Acts 7, verse 22, in the ways of the Egyptians. Were they smart people? How did they get done what they got done? Wouldn't you like to have a video of the pyramids? And so precise. Yes, they practiced bloodletting. Why? They thought the disease originated in the blood. And so did we. Our first president died because we practiced bloodletting. Really? Don't do this to me. I did it to myself, I guess. All right, thank you. George Washington died. Barbers practiced it, the red and white sign. Used to go round, round. Did it when you were growing up, guys? Sometimes they still have it. How did Moses know? Just the blind. When he said in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Do not bleed somebody. That's the wrong thing to do. Do we know better than that now? Yes. And doctors who did that when they learned the truth, they knew how many patients they had killed. 17:14 of Leviticus. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. 3,000 years ago. How did he know that? Recently discovered that leprosy was spread through the breath. But listen to Moses. 13:45 of Leviticus. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering up on his upper lip, and shall cry. What do you mean, cry? Unclean! If I had leprosy, would you want me to say, unclean, unclean, unclean? Wait till I got right there on. Or would you want me to cry? How did Moses know what we did not know until the last century? In other words, get away. What did we used to do to doors, houses? Somebody had a contagious disease. Quarantine. Did you go right in? That was the quarantine of the day. How'd Moses know this, folks? All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yes, sir. Bible prophecy. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. You go back about five chapters, chapter 13, you take them out and you stone them. You put them to death. Will that stop false teachers? They shall die. If thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord God, the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Jeremiah 28 and verse 9. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. When what he prophesied comes true. The prophecy of the birth of Jesus, Micah 5 and verse 2. Was this a wild guess? But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah 5 and verse 2. Look at Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, where did Micah say he would be born? In the days of... Got one too many fingers going here. Let's go back. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Well, and they said unto him, they quoted the prophet, in Bethlehem of Judea. They quoted Micah. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Where is he going to be born? What city? Let's listen to our Mormon friends. Their little book in Alma chapter 7. You ever hear of that book in the Bible? The New Testament that God has given us? Brother, listen. Behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem. You know what they tell me? Bethlehem was a suburb. Come on, everybody knows that. No, it's 5 miles plus away from Jerusalem. Not a suburb. No, sir. If Micah had said Jerusalem and he was born in Bethlehem, would critics shine a light on it? What do you think? What do you think the media would be on that? Nah, you Bible thumpers, wrong. And that would be all if there was just one mistake in the Bible. Press your Mormon friends about this. Don't let them get away with this suburb thing. Just not so. And that's one of thousands of errors in their little book, by the way. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Behold, a virgin. Some versions do not say virgin there, a woman. What if the sign was, a woman shall have a baby? That's a sign? Is that something extraordinary? Your apple tree is going to bear apples next year. That's a sign. No sign. Nothing spectacular about that. But a virgin shall be with child. So or not? Isaiah 7:14. Behold, that's an attention getter. Sometimes on your envelope you get attention, so-and-so. Behold is that attention. Attention, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. and shall call his name God with us. Isaiah 2 and verse 2, prophecy. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, his government, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. We need to move along. All nations, not just one nation, but all nations. Let's go back. I want to point out in the last verse. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All nations will come to this kingdom, and it will begin at Jerusalem. Well, in 2:16 of Acts, Peter said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, just like Isaiah said, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, or all nations, just like Isaiah said. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to Jews only. No, to every creature, like Isaiah 2:2 said. From Jerusalem, look at Luke 24, verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What did Peter preach in Acts 2:38? Beginning at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sins to all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem, just like Isaiah said 700 plus years before. You want to try to tell me something's going to happen 700 years from now? In 2715? Go ahead. Name the city where it's going to happen and what's going to happen. Romans 1:18. There's no excuse, he says. We'll just go on from there. Look at this. He said in Romans 1 that they are without excuse. You can't see be on this earth and see what you see and say there is no God. Isn't that what some of us who are older, isn't this what we grew up with in our books? Did you see that? Remember seeing this? You know what we're seeing now? This guy reading the newspaper. We come all the way from here. We straighten up a tad. We've got this thing here, don't we? Why are we missing links? Why? Because there never were. Do you have enough faith to be an atheist? To say we came from a blob or primordial soup, lifeless, dead matter, to this what we have today? Eyes that see, ears that hear, nose that smell, tongue that can taste, a central nervous system that I can touch you ever so lightly and you can feel it. Anywhere. Your fingers so sensitive, guys, you shave, you say, oh, I missed one. Oh, I did. So sensitive. Something. And a heart. Figure out how many times it's beaten in your lifetime. How many times a day, and it still works. Teeth. Everything else, the inner workings, your digestive system. Your eyes are where they, just by accident. Your heart protected. Your lungs, vital organs protected. Just by accident. Don't have enough faith to be an atheist. To believe that it was dead, lifeless matter over mind that created heaven and earth. I don't have it. To believe that the human body is a matter of evolution. Can't do that. David said, I will praise thee for I what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your body fights to live, doesn't it? Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. American astronauts on the evening of December 24th, 1968, as they circled the moon for the ninth time, they read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You think they'd be allowed to do that today? They read on and on in the book of Genesis. Some 10 verses. These men had been, as we say here, where no other men had been before. And as trained observers, they knew God's hand was in it all. They knew. They recognized him as the creator of the heaven and earth. God and this universe is the product of his infinite intelligence and creative power. The greatest wonder of all is how so-called scientists can say there is no God. What does Psalm 14, verse 1 say? You know, don't you? The fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. And I think it's 53 that he says it again. So you just know when somebody says there is no God, you mark it down that he's a fool. And that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, was this evidence enough to show you that there is a God? If you are a Christian, does this give you more faith, more confidence? And by the way, we could have gone till, as Paul did, till midnight, and it may feel like I did, but is this faith building or what? As you consider these things. And I hope that you do. I hope that you ponder on them and that they increase your faith. Tonight, we respond to this lesson by ending as we have every lesson. And the Lord willing, as we continue to preach, the invitation of the Lord. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What kind of rest? A temporary? 7 hours? 8 hours? A vacation? A furlough? No, eternal rest. By simply having your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb, by being baptized into Christ, just as Paul did in Acts 22 and verse 16, as we are told. And it would be for the remission of the sins that could keep you out of heaven and put you in hell. I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there, and neither do you. If you understand the will of God and you know what you need to do and haven't done it, then won't you comply? Bend your will to his will. Submit yourself to the God that loved you so much. How much? John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. As we stand and sing this invitation, make your way to the front, and we'll be glad to help you. Let's stand and sing. I heard an old